Welcome to Worst Year Ever, a production of iHeartRadio.
Welcome to the worst year ever. We'll get through it together or not. Everything is so dumb, 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 dumb,
dumb, dumb, dumb, dumb. Well, I did my part today.
What else is going on?
I don't know. I've done all of my work for the week.
Oh, good job. What are you going to do with your time now?
I don't know. Maybe fish.
What kind of fish?
Fish.
I don't know. Whatever's in the crick. I'll just throw needles in the crick until I get
trash.
A fish. Yeah.
So you fish by tossing needles, like shooting them, kind of like darts,
just throwing handfuls of them, just handfuls of needles into a crick until I get a fish.
Okay, so like a trap, kind of like you put the needles down and then hope they swim into the needles.
Yeah, they swim into the needles, and
like
you
used to fish.
Yeah, like
in the
ancients.
Old times. Yes. Yeah. Did you say like the ancients?
Yeah, the old days they used to fish with needles. Mm-hmm. That's how it works.
Yeah, basic anthropology here.
Very basic.
Well, it's so nice that before we've even started recording, you're done with your work for the week. That's so nice for you.
Yeah, no, I'm done. All right. Well, you guys have a good recording.
Bye, Robert.
Wait.
Wait.
Oh.
How was your weekend, Cody?
Can I fish too? It was fine.
Absolutely.
How was my weekend? What did I do? I don't even know. Work?
You came to a party at my house.
I did go to a party at your house. That is right. Wow. How much time is meaningless to me?
Yeah. Yeah.
How was your weekend? Did you go to a party at your house?
I did. I threw a party at my house. It's tiring. Ooh. It was fun. It was tiring. Yeah. Parties, am I right? Anyway, Sophie, you, how was your weekend? This is fun. This is what people tune in for, right?
I got my flu shot, and then I got a fever, and my arm hurts, but I got my flu shot.
She gives me fever.
Thanks, Katie.
Fever!
Fever when you touch me, fever when you hold me tight.
Fever in Las Vegas.
Oh,
my goal is to poorly sing songs on most episodes.
You remember when this was a news podcast?
Barely. I've been thinking about that. I've been thinking about the evolution of this show a lot.
Devolution.
You know, there's a lot. The devolution. That's the right term. Because now there's a lot of crossover between what we're doing and all the various other projects.
We're
but
doing
it's such
too
a
many
nice
podcasts.
Too many podcasts.
Too many podcasts.
But like, I like this group of people.
Yeah.
You know, and so it's fun. Uh-huh. I like talking about the news with you guys, but it is interesting to be like, what are we going to talk about this week? How do we space that out with our other shows? Who has the time when we all show up and we're like, hey, it's friends that we get to talk to about the chaos. But I was messaging with Robert at some point. I don't know. Time is funny like that. And recalling that the original mandate for this show was to unpack the election and to travel around and talk to people. And now I mostly talk to you from this room. I am hopeful that we can start to branch out and do some projects here like that.
Maybe one day. You guys want to talk quickly about the giant tungsten cube?
You go.
More than anything.
Yeah. So
I got no plans.
In the crypto world.
Oh, boy.
A minor tungsten shortage, at least within one or two companies, has been caused because for reasons of basically just a meme, crypto bros have been buying tungsten cubes. Tungsten is an extremely dense metal. You make like armor-piercing ammo out of it, for one thing, because like a little bit of tungsten, like a 4-inch tungsten cube weighs like 40 pounds. It's just like a weird dense metal. So people have been buying cubes just because they think it's neat and it became kind of a crypto meme. And so this company, Midwest Tungsten, decided to capitalize on it by making the biggest tungsten cube they possibly could, which was like, geez, I'm trying to look up the, it's 14 inches around, and it weighs almost 2,000 pounds. And they're selling it, but because it would be a nightmare to actually move anywhere, they're not really selling it. They're selling it as an NFT. Starting at 200 grand, it will probably go for much for millions. But you don't actually own the cube. But if you buy the cube as an NFT, you can come see it once a year at their office.
So it's a fucking timeshare?
Yeah, well, no, only one person gets to see it once a year. And if you later sell it, if that person has already visited and touched the cube earlier that year, you can't do it for a whole other year. It's nonsense.
I'm going to be honest, and I'm sure a lot of people will lose respect for me. I don't understand it.
It's
I don't
stupid.
Understand
no,
Bitcoin. I don't
understand
crypto. I don't understand Bitcoin mining. I don't understand
Okay, so here's what you need to understand. If you made your money in illegal drugs, or if you made it and you just want to avoid taxes on it, if you've committed a bunch of crimes and you need a way to like kind of wash and scrub your laundry, your money, the way you would like your laundry, you can use crypto to do that. And that's what all of these like giant crypto transactions are somebody trying to launder money. It's all a big fucking sketchy grift propped up by a handful of true believers and a bunch of more people who recognize that pretending to be true believers is a great way to keep a pretty good money laundering scheme going.
So that's all I need to understand?
Yeah, nothing else matters. We did a two-parter about it that will come out that everyone's going to find as frustrating as I found researching it, but it's just dumb. And it's stupid. That's it. Cool, that's all it is.
On Bastards or?
Yeah, on Bastards.
One of your other shows.
on Bastards. I read a, it's just all dumb. But the fucking,
It's fucking cube. It's just like.
It's the fucking cube. Yeah.
Good for you guys. Like, that's what you want to do. And that's what, because like money's stupid and fake.
It is. Like, it always is. Like, so all like currency is fiat currency. That's why, like, the fucking precious metal people are dumb. It's like, okay, well, what's gold worth? Really? What's gold worth? Like, are you making a spacesuit? Then gold's worth nothing. Like, fuck you.
Exactly. So, whatever.
Yeah.
And this kind of, like, points to that. So, in a way, I'm like, good for you guys. You're illustrating how stupid money is. Mm-hmm. But... maybe the cube isn't worth it.
Yeah, maybe the cube isn't worth it. Maybe the fucking terrible ape drawings aren't worth it. Maybe the automatically generated lion pictures aren't worth hundreds of thousands or millions of dollars. Maybe it's all very dumb. But at the same time, if people will pay for something, that's what it's worth because that's how capitalism works, which is why Tim Pool owns a big house. So,
and
you know,
Hassan.
And Hassan owns a big house, too. It's whatever. It's the system we live under.
Yeah, two genders, Hassan and Tim Pool.
The reality is that NFTs are really, really dumb, but also when you really think about it, not inherently dumber than in the rest of currency.
It's all pretty dumb.
Yeah, it's a sideshow. So
yeah, read
illustrating
David Graeber's
in which we all live.
Yeah, read David Graeber's Debt the first 5,000 years.
Do I have to?
Yeah, you'll like it's actually extremely well written. It will clear up an enormous amount of important questions you have about the way that currency works, and it's also very well written because David Graeber was a genius.
I'm either getting less smart or I'm just so oversaturated that it's hard to sit down and read things, but that's a good recommendation and I'll do it.
You have to force yourself
to read. I
have to
force myself to do everything, Robert.
So do I. Sophie will tell you the only thing
human condition.
Yeah,
this is the human condition. I thought being an adult would be better than this.
No,
why? Who told you that?
The problem with the only difference when I was a kid, there was somebody else making me do stuff, and so it was easier than it.
Now it's
got
to be you. Now you have to.
So now I got to go read a goddamn book because it's
I used
the right
to have
to do.
So much fucking ability to focus on books and.
Yeah.
Now I have to read like three at a time in order to read one.
It's really hard.
It's ADHD is what it probably is.
Yeah, but my ADHD medicine doesn't seem to help. It just makes me ready to go garden instead. It makes me really ready to focus on anything other than the thing I have to do.
Gardening is vastly better.
It's also
relaxing.
Anyway, we've drifted from... And I blame myself. Tokyo drifted away from the cube.
The cube.
Yeah, we've stopped gleaning the cube.
Romancing the cube.
Yeah.
Romancing the square stone.
Romancing the cube once a year.
Yeah, once a year in a supervised visit.
Only one.
See what's trending on Twitter.
God, I fucking hate this shit.
Is it the fucking cube?
Yeah, it better be. I mean, actually, one thing
Tim
that's
Pool's
kind of
trending
fun.
On Twitter.
Yeah, we'll talk. I guess we should talk about that now.
Go ahead.
Cody,
is it about the
I know
show?
you want to do this.
Only in theory.
Yeah.
We talked about it last week, and again, we're a culture show now. We talk about movies.
That's
and
fine.
TV.
Can we talk about Succession later? Because I'm finally watching.
Yes, we may.
But not the new
is he
yet.
Well, so I guess my question is Tim Pool trending because of his additional thread on Squid Game, or is it about his tweets about Dune yesterday?
It's a good question. Let's see. Because
both are silly.
It's probably both.
Yeah, Tim Pool's just a very funny little character. And sometimes, is he doing a character or is he?
Oh, here it is. Okay. It's surprising that people who think a show about people being forced into equality stand in food lines where they are underfed and used as fodder for the elites does not represent communism in any way. If Squid Game was about capitalism, then rich people would start off disadvantaged and not equal to the other players.
Advantaged.
Yeah.
Whatever.
The rich people aren't playing in Squid Game, are they?
Here's the thing. And I'm not going to spoil anything. Okay. I don't know who's watched it all. Katie, I
know
you've not watched it all. You don't watch
Except
things, that's okay.
Dune.
I have to catch up on Succession.
That's fine.
Before
I'm
I can
not
watch
spoil-
Squid Game, before I can watch Dune.
That's fine. I'm not going to spoil anything. Mm-hmm. The statement, if Squid Game was about capitalism, then rich people would start off advantage and not equal to the other players. First of all, Tim, finish the show. Finish the fucking show. Watch till the end of the fucking show, Tim. Second of all, they're all in debt. That's the plot of the show. They're all in massive debt, so there are no
I thought
rich
you
people
said
playing
no spoilers.
In the Squid Games. That's the plot of the show. they're all in massive debt, and they have to play the Squid Game. So what's your point, Tim? But and this is not. Some players would have inherited advantages toward winning the money. First of all, Tim. They kind of do. Second of all, there are games in the Squid Game that is set up like a race. And there are some people in the front that start, and there are some people in the back. And it's presented as being an equal game, even though you can literally look and it's not physically. You can see that it's not equal because they're not all starting at the same time. It's just very silly. And he closes this thread out by saying there are critiques of capitalism if you try hard enough. And first of all, there's an episode. I'm trying. Katie, close your ears. The second episode.
I'm taking my headphones.
Second episode. Spoilers. The second episode, they leave the Squid Games. They're like, oh, wow, the Squid Games are dangerous. We're all going to die. So they leave. And then the second episode is them going back to the capitalist world. They're all in debt. They're all miserable. Everyone around them is going to die. The episode is called Hell. And they go back to the games for the rest of the show.
Can I put my headphones back on?
Yeah, you can put your headphones back on. It's just so silly to pretend like if you try hard enough, there are critiques. No, there are very specific critiques of it. You can misinterpret it all you want, but you can't claim that you have to try very hard to get to that critique. Even Ben Shapiro today did a whole video reviewing Squid Game, and he's like, it's about how communism is good. And like, I mean,
not really, but they specifically attack North Korea in it too. They just
by critiquing like all the problems with capitalism, you're not inherently saying like communism is good. Like that's not how it works. So like even then it's like not a very good review, but he at least says it's a good show. Its politics are bad. He gives it a 7 out of 10 for watchability and a 1 out of 10 for politics. So, like, at the bare minimum, you have to be able to recognize what the show is. And it's just very silly. It doesn't matter. None of this matters. I don't know why I care so much. It's just, like, watch things better.
Dislike disingenuous grifters. It's kind of your thing.
I don't know if he's being disingenuous or not. Like, part of it is just, like, do you think, is this how you think?
I think.
Is this how you absorb media?
He does. Yeah. I think it's his tribalism of here's another thing that I can say, us versus them. Here's another way that I can like just argue against you. I do think that this is purposeful ignorance. I don't know.
I guess so. Like, because even like with Dune, he's like, I didn't like it. It was boring and slow, and I fell asleep a bunch and didn't even finish it, and it's bad. And like, even that is so silly to me. First of all, it's not a slow movie. I don't understand that critique. It's like, it's pretty engaging the entire time. But it's the kind of thing where he can't come up with like, oh, it's like, it's woke, so I'm going to talk about it. So he has to fall back on like, I didn't watch it, it was boring. Which you totally could, because it is woke. Like, it from the 60s, like 60s wokeism, but like there are very clear themes that he's talking about.
Yeah, I mean, the overall theme of the books is that, number one, colonialism inherently destroys everything, not just the colonized, but the colonizers. That like, heroes are a trap and inherently the concept is inherently destructive, and that given enough time, the oppressed will become the oppressors. There's a lot going on in Dune. All of it is, in fact, very woke because Frank Herbert ate his body weight in psychedelic mushrooms while wandering the Oregon dunes every month.
That's what the other parts of the book are about. Mm-hmm. Like,
yeah.
Big mushrooms fan.
Mushrooms fan.
Yeah.
So
big into spice. And it's just, yeah, it's very silly. Like, because you could watch that movie and go, ah, the SJW's got to Dune.
Yeah.
Which would be inaccurate because it's always been like that.
To Dune.
But like, it's just like, if you can't, I've even seen people like, oh, it's boring. Like, they cast this black woman as this character who's not. And then like, they reply back to their thread. Like, I saw it and it was really good. And it was faithful and like beautiful stuff. And she did a great job. It's like, yeah, you just want to get mad at like.
Yeah. They cut Dune, the book where the first special boy hero counts how many people he's murdered in multiples of Hitler and then kills himself, and his son becomes a giant worm.
like, it's just...
Oh, I haven't participated in much of this because I took my headphones off for a while and never quite caught up. I think this is the perfect time for some products and services, and then we'll be back to talk about... other things that we've definitely figured out already.
Welcome to the worst year ever. We'll get through it together or not. Everything is so dumb, 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 dumb.
We're bad.
We sure are.
We are.
Space.
We sure are.
Back. And we are not talking about movies or TV anymore, right?
Well, what about that time Alec Baldwin killed that lady?
Oh, I guess
horrified.
That.
Yeah, this is.
Yeah.
We really should have led with this segment, but it's actually so. It's awful. It's hard to lead from jokes straight into this story. But yeah, the headline is that Alec Baldwin accidentally shot and killed their DP on set last week.
Yeah, the you know that meme where it's like the galaxy brains, the brains going bigger, like the tiniest brain version of this is Alec Baldwin killed somebody, and then the medium one is actually the armorer on set killed somebody, and then the biggest galaxy brain is actually Alec Baldwin helped to kill somebody because he was the producer on a movie that deliberately cut corners leading to this person's death in the series of
There's a lot to go over here.
Sure is.
There's the rights reaction, there's what's happening, what happened on set. There is what happened on set against the backdrop of the IATSE negotiations. It's a lot and it's been hard. You know, Cody and I both know a lot of people in the entertainment industry. You guys do too. You've lived here, but this has just really hit everybody pretty hard.
Yeah.
So, as most people probably are aware, or maybe aren't of the little details, this set was a somewhat low budget set, I guess, comparatively speaking,
oh,
but
yeah.
not really. But they, I mean, still tons of money. But they were rushing to get production done, especially in case IATSE did strike. They are halfway through this shoot.
There had been
multiple instances of gun safety concerns.
Three misfires with this one gun
in the week prior. Even outside of that, the crew had been promised accommodations near set, but instead, once they arrived, they were told that they would be housed 50 miles away. So they are driving back and forth 50 miles every day to set and schedule and safety concerns. And the morning of the accident, I don't have the number in front of me, but the majority of the crew, camera crew, walked off set. As well as, yes, the armorers, the people that the props masters had left. And so instead of meeting the demands of their crew or, you know, being responsible, they brought in local non-union props masters and an armorer. And I feel very bad for this young armor. I mean, I don't feel very bad. I have to see the I'm sure this is a horrifying moment for these people that were she's young and, you know, been brought in for this opportunity and they're being rushed as well. Like I ultimately the responsibility does lie with production and it lies with the AD. The AD who apparently had been fired from other sets for the same thing. Like actually
somebody got wounded on that set.
Another set.
Gun,
of his. And he has been known as the guy that comes in when the real AD leaves, when people leave because of he's willing to come in and do what it takes. And the AD, if you guys don't know, is the assistant director. And it's not about directing the action on camera. It's basically running the set.
Yeah,
your
and
AD
safety.
Is the person and running the safety. Every AD I've worked with is militant about safety.
Mm-hmm.
And they run the whole crew. So the buck does stop there. But even more than that, the buck stops at the producers, i.e. Alec Baldwin, who hired this person and made that choice. And I am so fucking furious. And yes, I feel terrible for him because, my God, you have to live with that for the rest of your life. But also, you have to live with this for the rest of your life.
Yeah. I mean, it's there's so much that went horribly wrong that shouldn't have. Back in our Cracked days, I interviewed somebody who was like one of the most well-known armorers in Hollywood. Like he's worked with Keanu Reeves, he's worked with like Tom Cruise. Like he's one of he not just like provides union armorers, but also provides weapons. And when you have those people who are like the proper IATSE armorers, it's been decades since a fatal incident with a firearm as a result of like a union armorer. God, I think like maybe 80, sometime in the 80s is the last one I remember hearing about. And it's because they have all of these different redundancies. Like for one thing, when you're doing a scene like this, number one, the barrel of the functional firearm is never supposed to be pointed at a person. Even in scenes when it looks like that's happening, you have like you have it canted to some way, especially since like they're pointing at a camera, right, which is a dangerous set. But number one, you make sure the barrel is not pointed directly at a person. That's an armorer's job. And number two, even if the barrel isn't supposed to be pointed directly at a person, you have a sheet of bulletproof plexiglass in between the camera and the gun. There's a bunch of shit that's supposed – like for one thing, the way the transfer of the gun was done, the AD just picked it up and said cold weapon and handed it to Baldwin. Number one, the AD is never, ever, ever, fucking ever supposed to put a gun, a functional firearm, in the hands of an actor. That is the job of the armorer. And when the armorer does it, he is supposed to open the cylinder or drop the magazine, whichever kind of weapon it is, and show you down the barrel. The actor is supposed to look down the barrel and see, okay, there is nothing in this gun. This is not a loaded firearm, in order to know that it's a cold weapon. Another, like the most fucked up thing about this is that it is now coming out. So for one thing, there are some situations in which you might use a live round, like a functional bullet, as opposed to a blank. And a blank is pretty close to a live round. It just doesn't have like a full bullet on the end. There are some situations in which you would fire a live round from a gun. on a movie set, but you would never keep the blanks and the live functional bullets in the same place. They were kept in the same place next to each other in the case of this. And what's come out now is that members of the crew were going out and shooting actual ammunition out of these guns off hours. And that's, yeah, that's the thing that's coming out now. I don't know. It hasn't been hard to confirm, but there's been a couple of articles on it because a live bullet was in the gun. It went through a person and into another person, whatever else.
That's what's so confusing because people say it's a live ammunition or then it's a blank, but it's still live. Here's one thing I need to say, though. Yeah. Oh, no, go ahead, Robert. Clarify that.
One of the things it can't have, because obviously a blank can kill. People have died from blanks. It has happened before. A blank can absolutely kill someone.
But not
this bullet killed someone and hit another person, went through them. A blank will never do that. A blank is not going to pierce another person's body go into a separate person. Yeah. This was an actual bullet.
Here's the thing. There's so much. There's so many things. You do not need to have a firing gun on set at all at this point. We don't. You don't. There are arguments about like, oh, you want that flash. You want this. All of that for the majority. And I've been watching seeing all these posts from cinematographers. It's almost impossible to capture that on camera. They always try and they almost always do it in post anyway.
Mm-hmm.
The training, the fact that it actually spooks most actors out and it's much easier. They want to talk about the noise and then reaction. You can bang something together and it gives that jolt to get an authentic performance. It doesn't make sense.
Yeah. I mean, we have
in any capacity
most popular
at this point.
Movies, the most popular movies in the
They're all CGI.
Marvel movies, so you could do a fake gun. I hope that that's not the only lesson that's learned, though.
No,
like,
it's not.
It seems
of
like
course,
that's going
but
to
like...
be. No, I know. I'm just saying, like, I see a lot of, like, just do the special effects. Do the special effects. Like, yeah, there are other aspects of, like, the safety of workers on these sets that need
absolutely.
To come to
account. Like
just
what I already said about how they left because of the safety conditions in general on set.
One of my issues with people being like, we should just never have actual guns on set is that, well, that's kind of like saying we should destroy the career of all of the IATSE armorers who never made a mistake and who in hundreds of movies were perfectly safe because that's what they trained to do. Because a crew hired someone who never should have been an armorer and wasn't with IATSE. Like, we should destroy this entire career field because that's
you would still have a need for these skilled people because there's other types of weapons that are used on set. We're talking specifically about guns that would still need to have a professional handling them, but do not need to actively be fired. That's it. Like, you're not CGIing a whole gun in, you know what I mean? Like, but like the fact that there's firing happening shouldn't be happening. Do you know what I mean?
I mean,
I don't know. Like, that's my perspective.
It's been done. Like, I guess my issue would be like this. The issue here isn't that the issue here is that like things that should never have been done if they followed the industry standard.
Yeah.
Were why somebody died here.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Like, people are missing the bigger picture point of what this is about.
Yeah, there have been a bunch of fucking Westerns filmed with old-timey guns where you don't have as many of the options for, like, sim munitions and stuff with these antique guns. And it's fine because they don't do the huge variety of things that went horribly awry in this. I don't know. It's one of those things where, like, I'm comprehensively frustrated at every aspect of this because the thing that got people killed was that decades of best practices were ignored. Like the people whose jobs are going to be eliminated by this switch, which if you, I don't know, fine, maybe that's the way it always was going to evolve. But the people whose jobs are going to be eliminated are the people who spent years developing a series of best practices to make this not possible when they are involved.
And
that's kind of bullshit. It's kind of frustrating.
I do agree with both of you guys about this. And I agree completely that the energy and the outrage is being misspent. And again, we're missing the actual point of, again, this is set against the backdrop of the IATSE negotiations, which is all about this exact thing. I would want to look into what removing firing gun
I think it's certainly
would
possible
actually
for most
mean,
shows.
But I mean, yeah. I mean, I would like to look into what that would mean in terms of armorers and how that affects their jobs. Because my gut would be that there is still other job, like they would still have a job. You know, it's just changing slightly. However, if I'm wrong, I might. I mean, I could be wrong. You know. To me, though, that's. But yeah, I agree with you guys. Should we also talk about how the right is reacting to this?
Oh God. How's the right reacting?
Is it reasonable and nice?
Guns don't kill people. Alec Baldwin with a gun kills people.
Yeah, that's okay.
Gross, but also yeah, you're missing the point. You're not understanding the way. It's not the fact that he held the gun. It's the choices he made.
It's the union busting that kills people.
Yeah.
It's removing the trained professionals who actually know how to function with the, and you could even like there, like the actual fucking, if you wanted to take an actual right wing tact on this that wasn't like completely batshit stupid and wrong, it could be like, well, this is partly what happens when you have a bunch of people who rail against firearms but don't functionally understand them. Because if Alec Baldwin had any understanding of guns, he would have known instinctively, number one, you always check to make sure the gun is unloaded. And number two, even if you know it's unloaded, you treat it like a loaded gun, which means not pointing the barrel at a human being. That's the actual, like, if you want to take the reasonable gun culture approach, it's that if he had been raised with firearms and understood them in any kind of functional capacity, this also wouldn't have happened, because you don't point a gun at a person and pull the trigger. Mm-hmm. Because there's no such thing as an unloaded gun. Like that's the actual reasonable thing you could take about it, as opposed to what they're doing.
Well, yeah, he's the Trump. He's the Trump impression guy. So they're just trying to get their little dunks in.
Everything about this is just comprehensively heartbreaking. Especially since this is like everything turning into a goddamn culture war issue. While a woman who had two children is dead, and they're not going to get to see their mom anymore. And she's not going to get to live the remainder of her, what probably would have been a long life.
She was so young.
For what amounts to a stupid cost-cutting decision and a series of careless actions by
completely unnecessary.
A whole lot of people. A tremendous number of people had to be careless for this to happen. It sucks really bad.
I had just now started to feel bad, you know.
Yeah.
No, I didn't just now start to feel bad, but thinking about her camera crew who walked off that day, and she'd been really torn because she'd been advocating and fighting for them and really fighting for the safety conditions on set. But it was, she was the DP, you know, the cinematographer.
Yep. And this was her first DP gig.
And like, so she needed to stick around and see this project through, but she was in a bad, and so then I just thought about all the people that left and how they must feel that the day they walk out, this happened. And not that this is in any way their fault. They're doing the
good
thing
God,
they need
no.
to do.
Yeah.
You know, but,
no, they were in fact trying to stop this from happening. Yeah.
It's
everything is terrible. And also everything about this is terrible. Yeah.
And it's so just like everything, literally everything, the government, climate change, COVID, all of it. You see the writing on the wall as to what the problems are. And you also see how the people in charge spin it or take the wrong point, purposefully obfuscating things so that they can continue on, and things don't change. Like, will this change the negotiations? I don't know. Will this affect anything in the long run? I don't know. I mean, in terms of the actual set conditions that need to be fixed. Does that make sense? Yeah, I'm rambling.
Mm-hmm.
Makes sense.
All right, anyway, let's take an ad break.
Ad break.
Welcome to the worst year ever. We'll get through it together or not. Everything is so dumb, 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 dumb.
Oh, God. Yeah, baby. Yeah. Suck on that.
Good ass.
I don't know why I told people to suck on that.
Yeah.
I mean,
that
was weird, right? I shouldn't have done that.
You can cut it out.
No, keep it in. Not necessarily weird, just like maybe not necessary. Maybe
unnecessary.
A little aggressive, maybe.
Not necessarily necessary.
Not necessarily.
Now what you guys got? What you want to talk about?
I don't know. Facebook killing everyone. Boy.
The website? The
yeah, the website. The website that is committed to destroying the world. That one.
Is it because they want to or because they have to? Because
it's
they
because
need money.
Destroying the world increases engagement on their platform.
Okay. So this and more or less
it does.
The
and that's
thing.
The only way they make money now.
Yeah. So the world has to go because
don't worry, yeah, they're pivoting to kids.
Except yeah, kids they aren't are. Interested.
Kids are interested in perhaps firebombing the Facebook offices.
Yeah.
Yeah. Which
perhaps
were that to happen, I don't encourage it. But
they
were
grow
that
up
to
so
happen
young these days. Yeah.
I think it would be funny. Were that to happen.
Yeah, I
Sophie,
like a what?
How are we doing on that? Is that incitement? Did that cross a line?
Is that, yeah, where are we?
She's
are we,
ignoring that, you.
Did, that's
what
good.
Just was just said? Are we bleeping that entire thing or
are
just
we, are we bleeping that? Did that go too far? All I'm gonna say is, if things were just, Mark Zuckerberg would be taken into custody by an international group of shall we say a vengeance squad. He would be tried in The Hague, right where, Hermann Göring was tried. And then he would be hung where Hermann Göring would have been hung if Göring hadn't snuck opiates and overdosed in order to avoid. Anyway, Mark Zuckerberg should be legally executed by the international community is what I think, actually, along with Sheryl Sandberg and most of the people who have been running Facebook for the last decade.
Or
yeah, sure.
Just give him a bunch of opiates.
Yeah, whatever. I don't care how it goes.
However way.
One of the fun facts. So basically a shitload of stuff came out recently about Facebook.
Perhaps too much Facebook's. All at once. I want to throw that out.
Yeah,
like, all
it's
this
gonna
stuff
be...
came out on Monday, all this stuff. I mean, and it's so much to sift through that it's almost like people aren't touching it. You know? Anyway, go ahead, Robert.
A lot of journalists are going, but it's going to be...
Probably but like the general public.
Yeah,
like,
no,
ugh.
There's it's so much. One of the things that came out that's most immediately relevant is that in April of 2020, like the early days of the pandemic, internal Facebook employees started looking at the spread of coronavirus-related misinformation. And they found out that if they limited serial resharers, because serial resharers, people who reshare a lot of content, tended to be resharing mostly misinformation. So Facebook internal employees were like, hey, what if we limited people from boosting content that like our newsfeed predicts kind of falls into this category because that stuff tends to be misinformation. And their early tests showed that if they had done this, it would reduce the sharing of coronavirus misinformation by 38%. And Mark Zuckerberg said no. The exact quote was from Anna Stepanov, who's a director at Facebook, who was speaking for Zuckerberg. She said, "Mark doesn't think we could go broad. We wouldn't launch if there was a material trade-off with MSI, which is like their engagement statistic." So that's like one of a billion different examples. But like they knew that, oh hey, we could do this one thing that would reduce coronavirus misinformation by 38%, but it's going to reduce our profitability, so we will not take that step.
Yeah.
It's like with Twitter, how they're like, yeah, we could get rid of some Nazis, but it'd also get rid of some Republican politicians.
Yeah,
so we can't.
But at least Twitter put like caveats, you know, or Twitter also does, like, if you're going to retweet and you haven't clicked the link, if you're just knee-jerk resharing, they say you haven't read the article yet, could you do that? That's another thing that whistleblower's name,
Dana Facebook,
she mentioned that specifically. Mm-hmm. like that's been talked about. So much going through the thing that you pointed out. A few things that feel true to me and are true. So much of this, I mean, not just COVID, but just the disinformation in general, is because Facebook, in their quote unquote attempt to seem like nonpartisan, they've actively been, I mean, Mark Zuckerberg has actively been taking meetings, you know, with different members of the Republican Party. He routinely courts them. And, it's all part of this. It's all part of that. positioning and their choices that they make. But yes, money is at the thing is the be all end all here. And that's where they make their money, because I know they're focusing on, they're going to, you know, Facebook for kids, but the youths don't go on Facebook. It's for the olds.
Yep.
And well, the also, olds like, get grabbed with racist shit that they can reshare.
Well, also, like, the thing is, like, they're, like, yeah, we're retooling to, what's the quote that he said? Retooling to make serving young adults the North Star rather than optimizing for older people. And, like, so you're just going to, like, poison kids more instead of poison adults.
Yep, like, that's the goal.
That's the goal, right? Like, we already know that, like, Instagram is destroying, like, young girls and, like, all the things that, like, these apps are doing via their algorithm and feeding. It's like, if you're optimizing for young people instead of older people, then you're just getting them earlier. You're fucking them up earlier instead of doing it to boomers. So maybe that's not good.
I mean, all of it's not good. Also, it's not even about banning topics or removing the topics from Facebook. I mean that's a whole conversation.
It's about stopping, but it's also Facebook from artificially promoting inflating their reach. Yes.
Right.
Actively promoting those things.
And they're
because
actively
they know
promote, yeah.
that it increases their bottom line.
They know, I will go even further, Katie. They are actively promoting toxic, untrue, and violent content because doing so damages the brains of their users in a way that keeps those users on and engaged to the website. And so damaging the brains of their users permanently is profitable to Facebook. So they made a distinct documented choice to cause brain damage to millions of people in order to increase their profitability.
We're talking about it through the lens of how this affects us here in America, but also to be unpacked and sifted through with all of this is internationally.
Yeah.
The influence in other countries is even...
The ethnic cleansings in India and Myanmar, just as a start.
Yes.
In Ethiopia, like, in Egypt.
Pro-government propaganda in other places. You know, like, anyway, it's... Truly the destruction of the world.
Yeah, there's a really good Ryan Broderick article on his Substack. I think, well, is this a Substack or not? On his blog Garbage Day. And Broderick is someone who's kind of reported in some of the same. Like, we're both some of the only English language writers who've written about fucking Degola Chan, which was a like Brazil's 8chan kind of equivalent. It's like a mass shooter fan site. He wrote like a short little thing about the Facebook papers, which you can also find, by the way, if you're interested in kind of learning how to start looking into the Facebook papers protocol. You go to protocol. If you just type protocol Facebook papers into Google, it'll bring you to protocols. They've got like an aggregation thing that's aggregating all of the articles so far written about the Facebook papers. It makes it easy to kind of see what's actually happening here. But Ryan Broderick wrote a short little article about this that I think gets at how everyone who's been, I've been reporting around the edge of this issue, like a bunch of people, like Ben Collins, like Brandi Zadrozny, like there's about a million of us. Well, there's at least a few dozen of us who have been like writing around the edges of these stories and trying to like prod at this stuff for a while. And Broderick gets at, I think, how we're all feeling and about how everyone should feel about this, about the Facebook papers leak. Quote, I'll be honest, I'm not sure what to do with all this. I'm not sure what more we need to know before something is done, nor am I even sure anything can be done now. After almost a decade of writing about it and talking about it, I honestly feel numb to the whole thing. It's why I don't write a lot about Facebook and Garbage Day. There are simply other parts of the internet that need attention. Just think about how different things would be if an entire generation of reporters and technologists weren't forced to be unpaid janitors for a bloated tech monopoly. My hope is that the sheer scale of these leaks isn't too much for the average reader or politician to wrap their heads around, though they haven't affected the company's stock price. But this much is clear. Facebook knew all along. Their own employees were desperately trying to get anyone inside the company to listen as their products radicalized their own friends and family members. And as they were breaking the world, they had an army of spokespeople publicly and privately gaslighting and intimidating reporters and researchers who were trying to ring the alarm bell. They knew all along, and they simply did not give a shit.
That.
I don't know.
They still don't. Yeah. Zuck said, yeah, what we're seeing is a coordinated effort to selectively use leaked documents to paint a false picture of our company. Are the documents false?
Yeah, Mark, is everything in here true?
Are you saying that they're all
there?
I
mean, it's just all such blatant PR bullshit corporate spin. Yeah. And I can say that with confidence because I'm almost caught up on Succession.
Good. Again,
and I understand how this works. You know, I'm seeing it happen. Anyway,
Katie, I love that for you.
Thank you.
About time.
I had to contribute something. No, I've talked plenty this episode. I've had thoughts.
Do we want to end the episode by talking about the written ass thing or nah?
Yeah.
It just sucks is the memo of it. Yeah. Okay.
The judge is saying that they can't refer to his victims as victims.
They gotta use rioters, terrorists,
arsonists,
looters.
I thought that Republicans hated activist judges.
Yeah, it's fun because the argument, which isn't a completely fallacious argument, is that, okay, if you call them victims, then you are convicting someone while they're on trial, which, okay. But then if you can call them arsonists, which none of them are convicted of arson, none of the people he killed are convicted of arson, then you are convicting someone else.
Even more, exactly.
Rioters.
Right?
Yes, if you were just saying the people that he shot, and if that was the only way you allowed anyone to refer to them, I think that would be fine. That's reasonable. That makes sense. Yes, no one's arguing that he shot these people. That's accurate, and you're not convicting anyone by saying the people that he shot because he objectively shot them. I would say, okay, well, that's someone being fair. But this is obviously, like, clearly not that. This is clearly an activist.
Yeah,
judge.
Call them terrorists instead. Yeah, that's like it's like the opposite of what he's trying to avoid and also even more intense.
Yeah.
I'd like to read this tweet from Ben Sheehan. The Kenosha County judge in the Kyle Rittenhouse case, Bruce Schroeder, has been serving since 1984. He keeps getting reelected to 6-year terms running unopposed. He's one of those 600 judge elections on your ballot where you're like, who is this? Does this matter? It does. I think that's a very good point and little reminder. This man has been serving since 1984 and has ran unopposed. That's what I have to say.
It's great. Yeah. That said, often the choice is between one judge and another judge, both of whom are the kind of people who want to be judges.
Yeah. And
yeah.
How can you know? It's just
how can you know? I don't know. I would like to see Mark Zuckerberg, Sheryl Sandberg, and most of the Facebook executives from the last decade or so arrested by an international tribunal and executed in The Hague. I think that would be rad. I think that would be
now
who's poggers
judging now who's
you know,
doing the verdict before
Mark,
the trial.
You know, it'll get all of the kids on board with your company if you were hung in The Hague. The kids think that's poggers.
They think that's
100 gecs of cool.
Yeah.
That's
you
what they love, Mark.
It's real chuggy.
Yeah, very chuggy if you were to not be hung in The Hague.
I think
we did it, Cody.
Are we doing that? Is that?
Yeah, that's the episode. Oh, no. That's how we're ending this shit.
Oh, good. Mm-hmm. I love.
Based.
Yeah, based ending.
Fuck. I can't think of any. I'm like desperately trying to think of some slang to throw at you. But I
think it, you know, there is another thing that just happened recently on the TikToks that's pretty funny. Random fucking targeting matrix that is TikTok memes has landed on the Mountain Goat song No Children, which if you've ever been in a divorce that nearly killed both parties is a pretty good song about a divorce that nearly kills both people involved. And now the kids are into it.
Oh, hell yeah.
It's extremely funny that they've landed on an incredibly dark anthem about being like a divorce that cripples that's you emotionally for the rest of your life.
Really wow. Fun note to end
on. What an American metaphor.
Good for you, kids.
That's cool. Listen to the rest of their catalogs. Really Dude. Good music.
Yeah, they're fucking great.
Some good stuff.
Yeah, the Mountain Goats have a lot of bangers.
Yeah.
Not just that one song.
If you're
going
to start
know.
On those children, that's fine. But just like expand, you know?
Yeah, go listen to the rest of the Mountain Goats. They got a song about D&D in there.
Yeah. It's so,
what a great band.
Weird thing. Yeah, TikTok's doing that and also like making young girls like think that they have Tourette's.
Yeah,
and stuff, so.
There's lots of stuff that's less good. But
but the Mountain Goats.
I do like that when someone went to the, I think it was Vice, went to the Mountain Goats, you know, the main guy who was at some points been the only guy in the Mountain Goats, went to him for comment. He was like, yeah, I'm not getting on TikTok. Absolutely not. I'm doing nothing.
Of course
I'm
not.
Taking no actions as a, like ever all these
good
other
for you,
musicians,
John. Good for
like
you.
Their song goes viral on TikTok and they suddenly like fucking Fleetwood Mac gets a TikTok and he's just like, no, I'm doing nothing.
No, I'm not. Hold strong, man.
I am 54 goddamn years old. I'm not getting on TikTok.
Nope.
I'm just going to continue doing the thing that I
do. So much respect for that.
Yeah. Thank you.
All right, guys.
Kids, go check out the Sunset Tree.
At Worst Year Pod. Bye.
Oh, wow. Bye.
I tried. Yes. Daniel?
Lovely.
Worst Year Ever is a production of iHeartRadio. For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows.